This is CliffCentral.com.
Oh, are you ready for Anthea Gardner to give you the latest in what's going on with your money? The Money Shot. Every Monday, we check in on the economy at large. We go into some serious stories. And remember, on Thursday, she gave us a little insight into what the budget has. So for this morning, let's not delay. Let's get straight to Anthea Gardner.
She works hard for my money, Anthea. She works hard for your money, Anthea. She works hard for her money, so we better treat her right, Anthea.
Yes. Good morning, Anthea.
Good morning, everybody. All the beautiful people.
So the budget now, has everybody settled into this? Have we found any more interesting things that you didn't tell us about on Thursday?
No, but I think I gave everyone a bit of a shock on Thursday when I said that we were going to be downgraded, because I got quite a few messages from our listeners saying, oh my God, are we going to get downgraded? What must I do with my investments? Where's this going? So I thought I'd better give everybody a little bit of insight.
Okay.
I mean, I think... And I guess the shock is that really I'm calling a downgrade when previously I've said, you know, we can stave this off, and now suddenly I've changed my mind and gone, well, actually, we're in it so deep now that let's just get it out the way. It's coming. What's going to happen is that markets are going to be volatile. So I think for the first half of this year, leading up to the election, not much will happen. I think the equity markets, your share portfolios will be okay. In fact, you could see a little bit of a rally kind of catching up from last year. Shares really are looking quite cheap. And I see Donald Trump this weekend, President Trump, sorry, this weekend, kind of back down on the China-US trade relations and the tariff, saying that, you know, everything's going to be okay. We'll come to some agreement. He's going to host President Xi Jinping at Mar-a-Lago. Funny that.
Mar-a-Lago. Very, very good place. Beautiful there.
For trade relations.
Oh. The Southern White House.
So I think for the share market, stay invested in the share market for the first 6 months of the year up to kind of at the end of elections.
Right.
Nothing's going to happen. And the volatility will kind of subside. But then I think by medium-term budget speech, we're likely to get downgraded. The rand is going to blow out. So if you see any opportunities when the rand is a little bit stronger, buy dollars.
Hmm.
Right? And then when the rand blows out and it's weaker, you sell your dollars and buy rands again. So that's the strategy for the rand. What will happen with bonds is the yield, because that's how we measure returns.
When is
on
all
bonds.
Of this likely to happen? This
the downgrade? Nobody knows, but I think October, around medium-term budget speech.
I don't think I have enough rands to buy a dollar. That's the problem.
No.
Yeah, that is a problem. It doesn't take much.
Some practicality
need a few.
From Leanne.
You know, I think we can compare it to Brazil, because Brazil and Russia are probably the closest economies to ours, commodity markets, emerging markets. Brazil got downgraded last year. And I've got a nice little table in front of me. If you compare their interest rates with ours, our 10-year bond, which is kind of the quintessential benchmark, is at about 9.1 at the moment. And Brazil, 8.95. And they're two notches below junk status. So what happens, as you can see, bond yields blow out and then they retract again. So what you want to do for October is save some money, keep some powder dry to invest in the fixed income market. Whether you're buying money market probably won't change that much, but any sort of income fund or flexible income fund or bond fund, to put some money into it in October would be very nice, because then you're getting a yield of, well, wherever it blows out to, 11.5%, 12% is my prediction. And to get 11.5% return on your money when you're only getting, I don't know, 4 or 5 at the bank,
mm-hmm.
is definitely worth it. And that's I'm talking about the government bond now. So that's like the kind of guaranteed won't default bond.
Okay.
Right?
But you got everybody in a panic.
I did. I'm sorry. But you do need to position yourself quite cleverly for this, I think. And then the other thing you need to think about this week is tax-free savings, because it's the end of the year on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very important. If you're going to be invested anywhere and you've got 5 years at least, to put your money into a tax-free savings account. If you've already got hashtag invest bundles, then it's easy to do. You just go online and you invest. You can invest up to 33,000 rand.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the government basically saying that we will not tax the profits or returns on those investments. You can put in up to 33,000 rand per annum. Into your tax-free savings account. It has to stay there for 5 years minimum, I think. And if you miss this year, you can't double it next year. So you can't accumulate your tax-free savings allowance, right? Wow. So if you've got any money in a fixed deposit or sitting in the bank, it doesn't have to be 33,000 rand. It can be 500 rand.
Okay.
Don't miss the opportunity.
We like that.
Yeah. It's absolutely worth doing.
Sure. All right. Sounds good. So tax-free savings, take advantage while you can. Discovery, while we're doing things that need to be saved, because Discovery, obviously, have taken a bit of a hit on the balance sheet with the bank.
That's right, yes. So we spoke last week very briefly about they put out a trading statement and we could see it was coming. Like just the trading statement alone kind of was a warning to last week's results.
What do they say in these trading statements that makes you go, ooh?
So a listed company has to put out a trading statement if their results are going to be 20% different from the year before.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a 20% change in earnings or profits or revenues or that sort of thing, then they'll put out a trading statement. And in the results, so they said, you know, well, earnings per share are going to be down by between, I think they said, oh, I can't remember now. Like they said maybe down between 15 and 20%.
Okay.
You know, that's kind of how it is. Headline earnings per share fell 18%, so that's horrific. Normalized profit decreased by 4%, which for Discovery is just awful. But all of this can be explained away, actually, because the company Discovery themselves are investing in a number of new initiatives, including the bank, right? So they've got about five. Discovery Bank, that cost them 2.6 billion rand. Discovery Business Insurance, they spent 92 million rand in launching that. They've launched something called Umbrella Funds, which is a platform for pension, provident, and preservation funds. They spent 140 million rand launching that last year. Vitality Invest, they spent 612 million rand. That's the UK business where they're trying to incentivize consumers to save for more and for longer. UK business. It's like a direct-to-consumer business. And then Vitality One, which is their technology platform, they spent 552 million rand.
Sure.
I saw a very interesting tweet by Michael Jordan, and I missed the graph in the presentation, actually, where he showed that Discovery investments, anything that Discovery has started, takes 5 years before it gets out of this what we call a hockey stick. So when you invest something, your profits are much lower, your revenue's lower, and then suddenly when the business turns and makes profit, it takes about 5 years. We call this hockey stick because it looks like a hockey stick on the graph.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly profits and revenues exponential. So 5 years on average.
And they're only starting now. So
exactly.
We're looking at, yeah, we're looking at 2024.
But Discovery's kind of what you call the handle of the hockey stick is very sharp. So when they start making profits, they make exponential profits, extraordinary profits.
Hmm. How do we know when you're at the bottom of that hockey stick curve, though? Because that's the time to buy.
Yeah, that's that's the difficulty, right? You only know once it's turned. Hindsight is 20/20 and all that.
Sure. So at the moment it's sliding.
I'm afraid so. On that downward trajectory.
All right, First Rand.
Yeah, they released a trading statement as well. Very disappointing. They're guiding for IFRS. You know, IFRS is this accounting international something financial regulation.
No, of course
nonsense.
I don't know. Why would you?
Oh, don't you know?
No.
You have your own business. You should know. IFRS. You report.
No. I don't know about that.
We need to have a word with your accountant.
All right.
Earnings would be 22 to 24%, which implied a growth rate of 4% on profit.
And people are unhappy about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because First Rand, you're normally First Rand, like you're looking at First Rand ROIs, we always talk about this, don't we, because we love this bank, of double digit up to 22% mm-hmm. growth. And if, but that IFRS earnings includes Discovery card. And remember they had to sell Discovery last year?
Yeah.
Because Discovery are launching this bank?
Right.
So do you think so that's if you exclude them? That, oh, absolutely. Oh. Yeah. So that's huge. If you exclude that, and what we call continuous growth. So you, if you take out kind of the profits they've been making from Discovery card and all Discovery insurance and all that, or their holding, I should say, in Discovery, then it doesn't look so great, actually. Mm. And that's a shame. Yeah.
Ah, okay.
And that really speaks again to the economy and the consumer.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, Truworths?
So Truworths share price had a nice little jump last week when they reported results. I'm not sure that the jump in the share price was warranted. The only thing it really did show that Truworths were able to contain their costs very well. So they're kind of looking at cost growth of about 5%, which is not bad in this environment, especially if you consider that your inflation rate is around that, right? Mm. And people are getting increases and things are costing more and the rand's weaker, blah, blah, blah. So many things that impact that that cost. Also, expansion of stores is included in the cost. The problem was, in my opinion, so the market seems to disagree with me, obviously. But in my opinion, the problem was that revenue growth didn't keep up with it. So revenue growth was only 1%. And then if you combine the two in what we call jaws, you can see how it narrows and widens, right? The jaws, yeah. Kind of the one grows, the costs have to be contained and the revenue has to grow to work.
Got you.
And if it's in reverse, then it narrows the discount. It just, yeah, it looks difficult, I think. Margins are under pressure. South African margins were 10 basis points or 0.1% lower. And 70 basis points, lower in the UK. And I think that's got something to do with Brexit in the UK operations for Truworths.
Mm.
So Brexit definitely taking its effect there.
All right, and finally, Anglo-American.
Yeah, Anglo-American reported pretty good stuff. I mean, this is, you know, commodities have rallied recently and commodity companies have done really well to either sell off non-core assets or deleverage their balance sheet. Anglo-American are looking particularly exciting because they've got a very strong balance sheet. Their net debt to EBITDA, which is earnings before interest, depreciation, tax and amortization, so basically earnings, kind of real earnings, is 0.3 times. Normally, you're looking for a commodity company of between 2 and 3 times, and this is 0.3 times. So really good. They're like very low on debt at the moment. But then commodity companies just have not been expanding. They've spent nothing on capex. And so you can imagine, you know, the debt, they're paying off their debt, basically. I think people are a little bit nervous about the fact that their payout ratio is a bit skinny, as we call it. It's like a 40% payout ratio because that's our cash in hand, right? That's where you and I get our dividends, the payout ratio. And then investors are a bit worried that their balance sheet is getting a bit lazy. So the idea is really to have a bit of debt in company. If you're not taking on debt and if you're not expanding the business, then what are you doing? You're going backwards, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, Anglo-American, I would say, like, I'm enjoying this commodities rally because I've had a couple of commodity shares in my portfolios. And the question is, where to from here? Will the commodities rally end? Because I think high level, everyone's worried about China growth, global earnings, global growth. I don't think the world's going into recession this year. But I think next year, you're probably looking, things are going to be a bit lean globally, like America and China.
Don't tell us that. We thought that maybe, just maybe, we would stop being so lean and then maybe the rest of the world would carry on being as abundant as they've been, but now you're spoiling it for us on both fronts.
Yeah, we're a little bit late to the party, eh? Everyone's leaving and getting ready to go home, getting their Ubers, and where's the party?
Yeah, how embarrassing.
Yeah.
We're stuck at the bar with someone hideous. That's South Africa's economy at the moment. Thank you, Anthea.
Pleasure, guys.
All right, very good. Anthea Gardner and the Money Shot.
This is CliffCentral.com.